The following is an audio podcast of the New York Military Affairs Symposium. Other podcasts and full-text resources are available at the NIMAS website at nimas.org. This podcast is a telephone interview hosted by Jim Dingman of the NIMAS Board of Directors with Deborah Scranton, an award-winning filmmaker and director of the PBS Frontline documentary Bad Voodoo's War. She made her feature film directorial debut with The War Tapes, which premiered at the 2006 Tribeca Film Festival and won Best Documentary Features. The War Tapes went on to win Best International Documentary at the 2006 Brit Doc Festival. This telephone interview was recorded on March 31st, 2008, and is approximately 21 minutes in length.
We're joined with Deborah Scranton, who is the director of War Tapes, that was an Academy Award nominee and the winner of the Tribeca Documentary Film Award, and she is now presently the director of Bad Voodoo's War, which will appear on Frontline tomorrow on April 1st. Deborah, thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Jim.
Well, Deborah, first of all, tell us what Bad Voodoo War is all about.
Well, Bad Voodoo's War is a boots-on-the-ground look at soldiers who are deployed in Iraq at this moment in time.
This is the U.S. military's Joint Forces Training Center, Camp Shelby, in Hattiesburg, Mississippi.
Truck!
I came here to meet a platoon of National Guard soldiers who are getting ready to be deployed to Iraq.
Lead jab, one, right? Power cross, two. Three is going to be a hook.
The first person I met was the acting platoon leader, Sergeant Toby Nunn.
And then sprawl, you get down, and then you get back up the whole time, you run in place.
The platoon sergeant is the father figure. I'm responsible for the care and welfare of, you know, the 30 guys underneath me.
One, two, sprawl.
It's May 2007.
One, two.
In just a few weeks, Sergeant Nunn must have the 30 men in his platoon ready for combat.
One, two, sprawl.
They'll be going in at the peak of the surge.
One, two, sprawl.
This is going to be my third real combat deployment, my ninth overall deployment.
Get them all.
Go back to
BT. Hey, how long
Toby's platoon calls itself the Bad Voodoo Platoon.
Bad Voodoo!
And they are not typical National Guard soldiers.
Yeah. Yeah. Hooah, hooah, hooah.
Almost all of the men are prior active duty. They're not weekend warriors.
What they're looking for is that distance and direction, all right? So yell at the three Ds, I'll yell them back to you.
Watch that.
Mainly just shoot
I'm gonna f*** some up, Sarge.
All right, we gotta watch our cussing. How about we're gonna decisively engage and destroy enemy targets and combatants.
That sounds like a plan.
Most are highly trained infantrymen.
We're gonna decisively engage enemy targets and combatives.
And many have already served multiple tours to Iraq.
Now, explain to our audience the methodology of War Tapes and Bad Voodoo's War. Just give us an idea of how they were actually made and are being made as we speak.
Well, for the War Tapes, basically, when I got the call with an offer to embed with some of the units going over, I literally woke up in the middle of the night, one of that meme of the 4 a.m., you know how that goes, with the idea of what if I could virtually embed? What if I could give the soldiers cameras and work with them in a permeable relationship, you know, over the Internet to tell the story from the inside out versus the outside in, while at the same time having multiple cameras filming? So we did that, and it was an experiment. It had never been done before because it's also combined with, you know, your traditional verite where I went with a crew and did a lot of interviews with them here. But for the Iraq portion, I really wanted it to be through their eyes. So that's the prototype that was done on the War Tapes and what we're doing for Bad Voodoo's War.
Tell us what this is like as opposed to the other one you did. war tapes. This is a different kind of unit and a different type of time. Just give us a sense of what this unit is like in contrast to the one you did with war tapes.
Well, I think you put it very well. It seems like it's a different war, you know, as far as how the terrain and the climate and everything is changing for the soldiers on the ground over there. 2004 was very different than 2007 and 2008. In this one, we focused on one platoon versus a whole unit, and within that platoon, this is really about two soldiers' stories. It's an incredibly intimate journey, and what I took away from it was how there's just this sheer terror of, is today going to be the day? You know, because they're out there, their primary mission is convoy security, and they're just waiting to get blown up.
Now, explain a little bit more about that. Like, the first movie you did had basically nobody had been, I think maybe one or two of them had had prior combat experience or had been in Bosnia when they were in the regular army. But these guys, in contrast, some of them have had several tours in Iraq. And just give us a sense of how that felt when you were dealing with those kind of folks.
Yes, you make an excellent point. The guys in Badru are basically all combat veterans. One, Sergeant Jake Sid, was on his fifth tour. He's a Ranger. Got called into this unit through IRR. And Toby, it's his second deployment to Iraq. JP, second deployment. Jason Shaw, who's the other main character in the film, it's his third tour. And Jason, at all the age of 18, was when he went in for the invasion of Baghdad. He actually won a Silver Star for the battle for the Baghdad airport.
Uh-huh. Now, explain a little bit about how you also see how they're interacting with the Iraqis, as opposed to in the first movie you did, where they were actually based in Iraq, as opposed to this unit that's based in Kuwait and riding convoy. What sort of contrast do you see in how they're dealing with the Iraqi people?
Well, for the war tapes, the ROEs, or the rules of engagement, were very different, and the guys really were not allowed to interact with the Iraqis unless they were told to, because the situation was so hot and people were getting kidnapped. And this time, they're actually doing a lot more work with the Iraqi police and the Iraqi Highway Patrol, trying to keep the roads safe.
As opposed to in the past, where they were doing other kinds of work.
The mission of our platoon is to secure military and non-military elements to go into Iraq. We pick them up in Kuwait, and we escort them to their destination within the theater of Iraq.
All right, so here we are, getting ready to cross the border, leaving the wire.
Wherever that equipment, personnel need to go, that's where we take it.
Today we're taking a convoy of tankers.
The surge has brought so many forces and so much equipment back into the theater.
Route 7 is 3, over.
It takes a lot to get it to where it needs to be.
Roger, on PFD, looks like there's a southbound convoy coming down, over.
The convoy missions that Bad Voodoo leads take them all over Iraq, all the way from Kuwait up towards the Turkish border. They can be on the road for weeks at a time.
Go ahead, pick up convoy speed to 4-5, copy.
For combat infantrymen like these, being stuck in vehicles was frustrating.
A lot of our guys don't like this mission. I'm one of them. We're used to having our boots on the ground, kicking in doors, taking the fight to the enemy, as opposed to having the fight brought to us and just kind of dealing with it.
He's got nothing but gas tanks down top. Yeah.
Push him off the road. Push him off the road. Get off the road.
The guys have been joking, you know, this is not convoy security, it's convoy survival.
It's hotter than before.
Get on the fireball, get on the fireball. Slow down, slow down, slow down.
We're taking a lot more action. We're being attacked more.
God, dude.
The focus of the enemy is to shut down some of these logistical lines.
Oh, it's blowing, it's blowing. Hey, Kamar, okay, pull this vehicle back, pull this vehicle back.
And it doesn't take much to slow us down. We're very limited by our avenues of movement. The government that is within, you know, Iraq itself has been able to dictate things to us that we don't have the freedom of movement that we had before when we were calling the shots.
happened there, a remarkable incident where the Iraqi police, according allegedly, set an IED essentially ambush a convoy coming out of one of the fire bases. How did that, that was sort of a pretty dramatic part of the film. How did the men respond to that in their emails back and forth to you?
Well, the first, I actually got a text that they had been hit, but that everybody was okay. And then, there were some expletives in the fact that they had gotten it on tape. There's a lot of frustration. There's a lot of fear. There's a lot of trying to figure out, I think Toby says it very eloquently. Sergeant First Class Nunn says it incredibly eloquently in the film, where he's like, he's first time he was over there, his whole time he was training Iraqi military and hoping to help them, stand their own country up. And I think in the film when he says, I'm interacting with a lot of them, my trust meter isn't always on green. I think it's important that they have a platform and an opportunity to share that with us and those feelings with us.
Tonight's probably going to be a tough haul, so sign off with that and see you guys soon.
Tonight is going to be a heavy night. All right, tonight's going to be one of those nights that you can actually earn your money over here. Potential is 10 times higher than it normally is. It's already pretty high, right? All right, who here has an extra CAT, combat action tourniquet? Who has an extra one? Everybody should, right? It's a theater requirement. All right, you got one in your IFAC, you have an extra. Go ahead, take that extra one out now and put it on your dorsi appendage. Put it on your leg, all right? Put it above the knee, below the hip. All right, don't tighten it down. Right, that way, if we come to you, chances are, if you're going to get hit in your truck, this could be on your door side, right? This could be hitting that lower appendage. This could be knocking you off. The sooner you can get that tourniquet tight, the sooner you are, A, saving your life from moral bleed out, and B, saving the chance of better quality of life when we get you out of there into safety, okay? Right, I'm not saying this to scare you guys. I'm just trying to keep it real. All right?
We had a temporary bridge in place, but we only had it over one lane. We had to share the northbound lane. We were southbound.
All right, let's see what we got here.
A group passed in the opposite direction, and we waited for them to come over.
Bird dog, you see that median?
Roger. It's looking a little steep, but we have to take it.
We jumped over to the northbound lane. And we were just coming off that bridge and getting ready to come up to speed. When,
ID.
We have an ID dead. LBC. Let's go.
Slow down. Bird dog. Keep it standing.
Pull up left.
Voodoo 7, bird dog. IED left. Can you roll still?
Negative.
I'm scanning right now.
Vehicle's not rolling.
I can't see.
The smoke was heavy. The vehicle's burning.
We have an IED dead.
Hey, boss, bird dog.
Look for secondary. Stop.
Look for secondary.
Roger.
Viper 6-1, this is Bravo 2-7 Golf. Be advised, I just had an IED dead. I'm about.
You're familiar with how these documentaries have done in terms of actual box office. And I'm just wondering why you think there hasn't been a greater response to these movies, or maybe you have a critique of how that works. Because I know in your case, the box office was rather high compared to some of the other movies, but nevertheless, the amount of Americans actually seeing these films on Iraq is pretty insignificant when you look at it in a wider sense. Why do you think that's so?
Yeah, it's something I spend time thinking about. I think, number one, when it's, hey, honey, what movie do you want to go see tonight? It's like to go see a war movie can be a tougher choice than just something that's entertaining. What I feel is a big thing is the fact that right now there's such a disconnect in our country between, those who know someone who's serving or is involved in some way versus those who aren't. I think it's less than 0.5% of Americans know someone, a soldier or a Marine. whereas in World War II, it was 12%. You know, back then there was a war front, there was a home front. There seemed to be, we were a nation at war. And one of the most troubling things that I see in our society right now is that disconnect.
How is WGBH supporting this film?
They've been fabulous. We had been talking, you know, since the war tapes came out, and they're fabulous. They're one of the last commissioning editors, them and ITVS, as far as going to filmmakers and saying, you know, we'll support you and finance you to go tell the story. So that not having to raise the money to make a film takes a huge pressure off a filmmaker. And they are just, I've never worked with people so supportive in my entire life, as far as them being so committed to the story just being told how it is, not interjecting, not trying to skew anything, but just amplifying the soldier's voice.
How do the men who actually filmed war tapes and who have been involved in filming Bad Voodoo's War, how has that experience itself affected them? In other words, they're the reporters, they're actually doing the reporting. Mm-hmm. How has that impacted on them?
Well, I think it has different impacts for different people. I can tell you that Sergeant Nunn in Bad Voodoo's War has said that it's really, he doesn't have a battle this time, a battle buddy who he's there with since he is the platoon sergeant. You know, and he's felt that the camera and hopefully reaching out to Americans at home and bridging that disconnect is very helpful for him. I know the other guys all felt like they wanted to share their story. You know, for the war tapes, one thing that always stuck with me is when one of the soldiers who took cameras got on the plane to go over, and I gave him a hug. He whispered in my ear, "Please don't let us die anonymous." You know, and I think a lot of them, again, it goes back to that disconnect. They don't want to be just that small box on page 3 of who got killed today.
Right, and I think what's extraordinary is what you mentioned earlier, that you had actually hundreds. I mean, in other words, there must have been lots of people clamoring to have this done again, the way war tapes was done. Is that correct?
Yeah, I got a lot of emails and phone calls from different, you know, soldiers and Marines who wanted me to tell their story, and you know, I'd love to be able to tell them all.
Now, finally, tell us how this whole process of doing films like this has affected you personally.
Well, it affects me on a lot of different levels. You know, where I view the soldiers as colleagues, not subjects. You know, we're very entwined as far as me trying to crawl inside their experience and really understand what they're experiencing. So, obviously, with the guys of Bad Voodoo, they don't come home until May. So until they come home, and as Toby says in the film, you know, until everyone comes home, it's tough. I want them to feel that their voices are represented, that we're listening.
Well, and when will the film air?
It airs tomorrow on Tuesday. It airs Tuesday, April 1st, I believe 9 p.m. most PBS stations, but everybody should check their local listings to see where it is. And I would hope that your viewers might come to the website, and it'll be streaming also on the website live for those who miss it or maybe who don't have a TV. And the web address is pbs.org/pages/frontline/badvoodoo.
And do you have a website of your own, Deborah?
I don't yet. Can you believe that?
It's
like the plumber's family sink is always leaking. I know. I'm working on it.
Oh, well, on that note, we want to thank Deborah Scranton, who's the director of War Tapes, an Academy Award nominee and a winner of Tribeca Film Festival Award for Best Documentary, and who is now entering the list with a new film, Bad Voodoo, which will appear tomorrow, Bad Voodoo's War, on Frontline. Thank you so much, Deborah, for taking time to talk with us.
And thank you so much for having me. And on behalf of the guys, you know, they'd like to thank you, too, because they appreciate you giving airtime to hopefully encourage people to come and share their stories.
It's important. Thank you so much, Deborah.
Thank you. Have a wonderful day.
The men are still running convoy security missions throughout Iraq.
I'm going lights out.
Lights out. We got to get on the right-hand side.
About 3 1/4 meters. Still firing on me right now.
Fire!
Reload! Pavlik, get down the wall.
Here comes Charlie. This is Bravo 211 Golf. We are receiving small arms fire north of checkpoint 22 Alpha.
They are scheduled to return home this May. Thank you.
You've been listening to an audio podcast of the New York Military Affairs Symposium. This podcast was a telephone interview hosted by Jim Dingman of the NIMAS Board of Directors with Deborah Scranton, filmmaker and director of the Frontline PBS documentary Bad Voodoo's War. The podcast was recorded on March 31st, 2008.